I had a conversation with Pastor Daniel and other people in the church that there's a lot of joy, a lot of excitement about the new church that we are going into, and we're going to have a triple the space that we have here. In between the two buildings, we have about 5,000 square feet of space over here, but as we move over there, we're going to have 15,000, and we're going to have a lot of room for us to celebrate and to love other people and also to invite other people into the church with us. That's a great, great thing. We pray for that, and God have blessed us with that. But I also ask this question. Are we as excited about God as we are excited about the gift that God gives? And I come to that, and I have to do a soul search into the life of the church and into my own life and said, are we as excited about Christ? Are we as excited about God as we are excited about the gift of God? I have this mindset that we maybe just like our children here. I'm looking at you guys, the youth, coming to daddy. And daddy, the ice cream truck is coming. Give me some money. I'm go get the ice cream. And then dad give us the money and we go buy the ice cream and we take the ice cream and enjoy. We forget about dad. Who is the greater gift here? Is that the ice cream? Is it dad? What about looking from your dad's perspective? Would your dad longing to the point, longing back to the moment where you were very young, you were in his arms and in his bosom and he's tickling you and you're laughing and he's laughing with you and there's such an intimate relationship there. Is that the longing that your dad have? So the money giving to you to buy ice cream mean nothing. What he really wants is this relationship that we have. And so, I feel that we may be enjoying his gift more than he himself. Prayer is essential to the Christian life as our conversation is essential to human relationship. Prayer is the single most important part of our relationship with God and with Jesus. When was the last time you really take time to pray and have a conversation with our Heavenly Father? But the way to talk to people is similar to the way we talk to God. The most important thing in a conversation is truth. Truthful conversation requires that nothing is hidden. When truth is lacking, trust in relationship is broken. The Lord Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. There are troubles at work, the trouble at home, the trouble in the church and outside of the church, the trouble in our community, in our nation, in the world. There's no exception. Whether you are Christians or not, you will have trouble. The message today is, what do you do when you are in trouble? James chapter 5 verse 13 said, if anyone is in trouble, let him pray. And that is the message I want to talk about today. And when you are happy, then you sing. But when you are in trouble, then you pray. That's what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. And are we doing it? You know? James chapter 5 verse 13. Is anyone among you is trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing some a song of praise. Father, we live in a troubled world. We live in troubled time. We have troubled lives. We have troubled families. You tell us to pray as if that is the way to solve our problems and to find peace in the midst of trouble. How do we do that? Teach us today. Speak through me. Speak to your people. Bring your children home. Give them peace and satisfaction today. In Jesus' name I pray. If anyone is in trouble, let him pray. Who among us does not have trouble? All of us are in trouble of one kind or another. And so the solution is to pray. The word in trouble or is in trouble is suffering evil. Suffering misfortune. The term occurs three other times in the New Testament. The first time we have seen was in the James chapter 5 verse 10, where James talked about the former prophets who had suffered when they preached the gospel, preached the name of God to people. People stoned them. People kill them, saw them in half. We saw that in the Hebrews chapter 11. So just doing the work of God, telling people about God, people stone them and kill them. That is suffering. You're doing something good, but you suffer evil as a consequence of doing good. That is the first meaning. And so Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Paul said, I suffer the same. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvations that God has given to us, and look at what they did to me. They locked me up as a criminal. They throw me in jail. That is my suffering. Doing good, suffering evil. And then he went on to talk about Timothy. Timothy is not in jail. He is working in the church, preaching in the church, having oppositions. But the labor that he's doing there, Paul said, that is suffering evil. Why doing the routine work in the church is considered suffering evil? Not only that it is hard, but it is because you receive resistance. So the word here, trouble, in the context that the Bible give us here, has this notions of really evil in the way we understand it, that you're doing good and you confront evil and you receive evil in compensation to the good things that you do. But the other thing is the routine problem that you encounter in life that is considered part of the evil of living in this world. So if that is the case, then everyone in this world encounter evil one kind or another. I have seen many trouble in the church. Some are small, some are big, some are just inconvenience, some are real evil. Some are caused by negligence. Some are caused by malicious intent. Some come by our bad habits, but some come out of nowhere. The just suffer evil. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has no sin, suffer evil. If we do evil and suffer for it, our suffering will be just. The Bible says so. But when good people suffer evil, that is hard for us to understand. A lot of people don't come to faith because evil is part of the problem. They perceive that if God is so powerful, and He is, He spoke everything into existence, so He is the most powerful. He's also the most gracious. He's love. His name is love. His essence is love. The fact that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us demonstrate His great love, greater than anything we ever found. Because He's that loving, and He's that more powerful, how come there's evil in the world? And people have questions about that, and that become a barrier for people coming to faith. 3 years ago, when my family moved here into the church, we have Ku Vang, a brother who passed away to be with the Lord. He had a rare cancer of the lung, a lung cancer that happened to people who don't smoke. If he had been smoking and his lungs filled with tars and with these filthy things, he would have a sense of understanding, and we would have a sense of understanding too, that there was a reason, there's a cause. But because he did nothing, he just breathed air like you and I, and then he had this cancer. We love him. We didn't ask hard questions, but deep down in our hearts, we ask, why in this world that a healthy, loving father and brothers have this dreadful disease? Friday, the mission committee, we went to Jerry's home, and there we witnessed the suffering that Jerry's mom has. She is locked up, unmovable, not by anyone's coming from the outside and tied her hand and tied her feet together, tied her leg and torture her. No. It is the vein in her body, the vein that feed her, the vein that should keep her strong and moving, those veins that just stiff up and just lock her up in a position where she cannot move. Only her eyes can move, only her mouth can talk, but her body is frozen there like a rock. And you look at her and you say, what is this? Yesterday, we came to pray and went over there to visit our sister Chi in the hospital. A couple of weeks ago, you remember, she's here visiting with us, worshiping with us, and she's normal. I went to see her. She's just a bunch of bones. Her skin's turned black, really black. Couldn't recognize her. The moment I saw her, my tears just, I can't hold it. What is it? Why is this? And do we pray for that kind of need that is among us? The Bible said we should. And do we really wait until we see something like that to pray? Just because it happened to someone and doesn't happen to you, should you not pray? Come on, people. Yesterday, we come here to pray, and we have a full church here, and there's only 5 of us come here to pray. What happened? should we wait until it happened to your family and then you come to pray? The Bible teaches that no. We live in this troubled world and we should pray. I want to convict you and to pray. Some of the young people tell me that they hate coming to Wednesday service because the old people always talked about needs, about their hurts, about their pain, about their sons and daughters who are astray into the world. And so just coming there and just listen to these are just depressing. They don't want to come to Wednesday prayer. Today is their turn, crying for their sons and daughters who are astray away from God. The greatest cry in the church is not that there's pain, sickness, and disease. The elders got that. But, you know, the greatest cry in Wednesday is that their sons and daughters have gone away. And they're not coming to God. The greatest, the loudest cry is for that. But, so when we pray, who should we pray to? Jesus said, pray to our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, pray in His name. So we are come to pray, we address our prayer directly to our Heavenly Father. But maybe you experience, just like any other experience in the church, you've said, I pray, there's some time I get answer, and other time I don't get answer. The problem is that we don't know God, and we don't know about prayer. So we like the little kids coming to dad and asking for money to buy ice cream. That's how we pray. Is that what God said? Prayer, yes. Imagine you have a friend call you and say, come over here, I need you, I need you. And you run over there, you go, and you're still in this mode of catching your breath because it sounds so urgent. And you come over there and you say, what are you calling me for? I rushed into here, what can I help you with? He said, I just want your money. What do you think about that guy? The next time he calls, you said, nothing urgent. I won't go. You have Facebook friends. We all have Facebook friends. People around town, people across the world. Now, if they call you, now Facebook call is free, right? I go on vacation, I go to Vietnam and Asia, I call back on Facebook, it's free. So people over there are calling. You know that you have some new friends on Facebook, they call you. You think that they want to be friend with you, but the first thing they ask is, I'm in trouble, I need some money, can you send some? And what you do with that? You make a mark to unfollow him or her, right? Isn't that what we do? You make sure that the next time he calls, you ignore. Compare that to some good friends that you have. Your friends call and just talk and just pour out his life or her life to you and just cry and just talk. I have this boyfriend and we, you know, we're in love and things break apart and I just, and I was just like a divorce. Even though it's just a boyfriend, girlfriend, I feel like a divorce, and I cry, you know, this and that. Put out his or her life to you. You know, that is a real true friend, right? What happened the next time she called? You take up the phone, and you close the door, and you talk to him or talk to her in your room, because that is a true friend. Not like those Facebook friends who just want your money, right? God is not like man. But that is the way we treat God. We go to God, want God to do this for me, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. And we wonder why God doesn't answer. Because we don't have a need to be with God, to be the friend of God, to be the son of God, to be the daughter of God. You see, when God called Abraham, God said, I will be your protector, I'll be your shield. But I will be your reward. What God is saying to Abraham is that I am the answer to all things. I'm there for you. I'm the answer to your everyday prayer. And Jesus said the same thing in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 49 verse 4. Jesus is presented as the servant of God and serving the people and bringing people back to God. And he said he doesn't look for a reward. Because God himself is Jesus' reward. That is the model that Jesus taught us. That is the model that God wants us. If you pray, you better pray for me to be there and looking for me. You will always find me. You will never be disappointed if your prayer is for me. But if your prayer is for my money, for my good, for my blessings, sometimes I give, like a good father. See, the reason we pray and we don't get answer, because we did not look for the reward that God promised to give, which is God himself. When was the last time you prayed for God? Is God being the answer to your prayer? All of my life, whenever I pray for God, seeking God, the presence of God, I will never get disappointed because Jesus show up anytime when that is the truth of my prayer, the essence of my prayer. You see, because God opened our hearts to know that he's a father. Jesus said, God is a father. We don't know what a father longed for, but go ask your father. And for those of us who are fortunate to be father, the intimate relationship of you holding your son, you holding your daughter in your arms, and you tickle, and he or she laugh, and you just laugh with her, and that intimacy of being one together there, that is the greatest joy a father has. That's the greatest joy a mother has. God wants that. The problem is, God is powerful, and God said, if we see God, then we will die. So God shielded himself so that we don't see God. But he comes every time when you want him there. So, this is how you should pray. When you have evil coming into your life, a problem into your life, when we have them, we worry, we can go to sleep. So this is what I do. I let my wife go to bed, or maybe just go to bed with her, and I'll let her fall asleep if she fall asleep, and I come back to the living room and I just pray. Just said, Father, you tell me not to worry about anything, but this thing is in my head and it is big and I can get rid of it. I don't want to be on drug. I don't want to take medication and poison my brain that I go to sleep now. Dad, I don't want that. But I want you. Would you please come and talk to me? And whenever I say that to my father, and I listen, and the very first thing my father, my heavenly father, will speak to me is speak a verse of scripture to me. A verse from the Bible. But I also know that the demons, the devil would come and speak the word of God to me too. So I want to be cautious. I said, Father, this word from the scripture is spoken to me, you know, that has come into my memory at this point. Is this from you? If it is from you, then would you please give me peace that I know that is from you? And God is gracious. He confirmed right away, gives you a peace right away that it is from God. And you just feel the peace coming with the word. And I just said, thank you, Father. This is your word. How is this word here in scripture? Talking about my situations here, what is it? And just have that conversation, whatever come into mind, I just have conversation, just talk to my father, and I would talk, and sometimes I take my journal in, and I just, Daddy, I want to journal this, write this in, and all the questions I write, all the answers that he gave me, I just write them down, and I spend time doing that, and maybe 30 minutes, maybe in an hour, maybe until 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm tired. But I feel so much peace. The problem is removed. And I said, thank you, Father. I'm so tired now. I'm going to go to sleep. And I go to sleep like a baby. That's how God answers our problem. Come and take care of our trouble. You see, when there is a problem, when there is evil, the biggest issue is not that the evil is there, because God said, because this is a sinful world, evil is present. The real problem is the issues, how you react to it, how you respond to it, how you ask God about this evil that is in here that I don't understand. And I want to be at peace with this. And the Father comes every time and take care of your situation. But also know this. God speaks everything into existence. If God wants to give you a job, because that is the problem you face, God was said, you have a job. You have a job. And soon enough, in a couple of days, the job just come. And you know, because he speaks your need into existence for you. Maybe you don't have the job. You know you don't have the job, but someone has the job, and God just speaks that directly. I don't remember, there's times in which I really need money, but I don't go to God, ask for money. I just spend time with God. And the next morning, someone just come and said, I don't know what, but this morning my heart is burning to bring you this money. I don't know what it is. Maybe someone need it. Maybe you need it. But here it is. It's money for you. I remember one day, maybe I already told you this, my wife and I, we haven't been eating duck for a long time, so we talked and said, what do you want to eat? Duck meat. Well, I have the same thing too. My mouth began to salivate for duck meat, but we don't have the money. Lo and behold, someone come through the door, knock at the door. The lady coming with the duck. How awesome is that? That is how God answers our needs. God speaks into people's heart. Your need is built up in someone's heart, and they come and bring the answer to you. That's how God does it. That's how God answers our prayers. But you should not look for that gift. Look for God himself. Know that prayer is a conversation, is a relationship. And once you have that relationship with God, then all your needs are being met. Let's stand up and pray. Father, such a gift that we have, prayer, that we can come to you in prayer. that you are the answer to our prayers. And you promise to reward us. And you are the reward that you want to give to us. And thank you for that. In the past, we have been gravitating toward the gift that you give and not toward you. And we are sorry. We have been rejoicing at the gift that you give us, but we don't rejoice in you, who you are, because you are the Lord of the universe. You are the Creator. And now teach us to enjoy you as we enjoy our Father, as we enjoy our children. And that joy, that relationship, that intimacy is the essence of being faithful and being loving and loving you and loving one another. Bring us back again next week so that we can come together and study your word again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.